All right. Look, I want to thank the Senate President and the Speaker for being here, as well as we have the Speaker Pro Tem Mike Johnson and Jack McFarland, the Chairman. See how happy they are? They all finished. Everybody gets to go home. I think this is very important to understand, that while Democrats in Washington, D.C. play games with people's lives and put at risk the very safety nets that we depend on to take care of the most vulnerable population, which are like our elderly, the disabled, and children, we have been working to ensure that we can be responsible and to protect those vulnerable populations. And the reason that we're able to do so is because of the great work that's been happening at this Capitol over the last 20 months. We collectively have worked tirelessly to make our state safer, improve our education, lower taxes, reform our legal system, and ignite an economic boom that is literally historic. And more importantly, and again, I will give the credit to the legislature as well and to our great cabinet, we have been fiscally responsible in the way that we have managed the affairs of our state government, which gives us an opportunity to be able to act with compassion and reason. When you're not fiscally responsible, when you don't understand how to ensure that you have money for a rainy day, then you can't act when it rains. And certainly, if you're an elderly person who needs the SNAP benefits program, the food stamp program, if you're a disabled person, if you're a child, then it's going to be raining for you because of the decisions that Chuck Schumer and the Senate Democrats are making in Washington, D.C. And I want to make sure we understand that the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, Majority Leader Steve Scalise, and that House have voted and sent to the Senate. And our senators in Louisiana have voted again and again. And even in the Senate, there are Democrats in the Senate who are willing to open the government up. But yet, Chuck Schumer won't do it. We've reduced total state fund spending by $1 billion over the last 20 months. And our tax reform has freed up money. All of these savings give us flexibility in times of crisis. And today, we're leading. And we're going to lead. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has confirmed that there will be no new federal SNAP benefits starting on November 1st if Chuck Schumer does not relent and they don't open up the federal government. Let me tell you what that means. That means that almost 800,000 people right here in Louisiana, which means almost one in every five Louisiana residents, could lose access to food assistance they depend on to feed themselves and their family. This Schumer shutdown started on October 1st. So what have we been doing? On October 22nd, my office warned that SNAP card holders, that food stamp card holders, could see no new benefits added to their cards starting November 1st if federal funding stopped. I immediately got a call from both of these legislative leaders and said, listen, we have to take care of the most vulnerable population. I gotta tell you, that is the kind of compassion that exists in the leadership here in this Capitol. On October 23rd, I issued an update that we would make the elderly, the disabled, and children a priority. On October 23rd, I also issued an emergency declaration to make sure that we didn't have to wait around in case Chuck Schumer just wants to keep dragging this out and continue to hurt people around the country. This declaration allows us to tap into state funds to continue to provide food assistance for the elderly, the disabled, and children while the federal funding is paused. The state will provide a temporary state-funded assistance. That's important to recognize. We have to create our own program to the households that include the elderly, the disabled, or children per the emergency declaration. Every food stamp recipient and household has a set date of the month. So in other words, not all of the cards are loaded on November 1. I learned a lot about the program. Over there. Francis, come on, you can come over with us. Come on. It's your birthday?
Yes, sir.
Happy birthday. You and Abe. You and old Abe Lincoln. Come on. You've been around here. You know, even Francis hadn't seen nothing like this. So here's how it works. Here's how it works. The first 4 days of the month, those beneficiaries who are elderly and disabled have their cards loaded for the first 4 months, for first 4 days of the month. And then after that, every other day, a group is loaded. And we have been pouring through the demographics, through the data, to ensure that we could segregate the cardholders, to ensure that we are capturing the most vulnerable in that category. So those on the program who meet the criteria that I just laid out, they don't have to do anything. They don't have to do one thing. We will be putting out guidance in the next 24 hours. But again, if you are in, if you get your benefits card loaded on the first, the second, the third, or the fourth, don't panic. We'll be putting guidance, and you will have money on that EBT card. Thanks to these gentlemen behind us. Let me tell you what other states are doing. Yesterday, on October 28th, a coalition of 25 states and D.C., led by Democrat attorney generals, sued the federal government over its decision to suspend the food assistance program. Good luck. Be interesting. Don't think they're going to make it, but that's what they're doing. States like Virginia are being responsible. I think you'll see other states that are in the same types of positions that Louisiana is, that have been fiscally disciplined, will be able to take care of their population. So we'll see. But what we're not going to rely on is Washington, D.C. anymore. But I think this is important to understand. Look, the great economic boom that's going on right now, I just, literally, just hot off the press. It's a great one. Hot off the press. Louisiana right now currently has over 100,000 new job opportunities. 100,000 new job opportunities. And which means that per capita, the state of Louisiana is leading the country in job opportunities. So my message to able-bodied people, okay, who may not be employed, but who have been utilizing this program, that you should go out and search for one of those jobs. And you can go to our workforce, I know we got a workforce website, Louisiana's workforce website. You can go and you can access information there. So I would encourage you to do that. I would also encourage able-bodied people to start to lean in on food banks. And of course, those Louisianians out there that have the ability to help us, we're gonna start to talk about filling our food banks. Because again, what we're doing today is not sustainable. There will come a point in time where we not be able to load those cards. And so we want to be able to prepare for that as well. We're going to prepare for the worst, and we're going to hope for the best. We're not going to hope for the best. You should call. You literally. Oh, wait. I got it right here. LouisianaWorks.net. LouisianaWorks.net. And so we want people to seek out those job opportunities. Great-paying jobs. Great-paying jobs. Unbelievable. So let me be clear again. Our priorities are very specific. We are going to protect the most vulnerable population in Louisiana, which is our kids, our elderly, and the disabled. And I really am proud of our great state, because you know what? We're going to do something. We're going to lead the nation in the way we take care of people. It's evident that the Democrats in Washington, D.C. are incapable of taking care of the American people. It's really sad. But I certainly hope that they can come to some understanding. I hope that Mike and them are successful in that. And and with that, I'd like to turn it over to Senate President Cameron Henry, who has a few words as well. Cameron.
All right.
I didn't know I had a few words, but I'm happy to give you the progress. Look, we made a great step for Louisiana today. If you listen to the speech I gave on the floor today, we addressed members' districts, both Republican and Democrat, each having the same number of a significant number of recipients and beneficiaries in their districts. I think it was a great bipartisan measure that probably the folks in D.C. should pick up on sometime sooner or later to get things moving across our country. Great work in relationship with the Speaker and his team. It was as pleasant of a session as it could be. And really, I was glad we were in because I think being able to address this SNAP program quickly and efficient like we did to make sure that those cards were loaded on November 1st is a great step for Louisiana. And I imagine other states will probably take note of our ability to get this done in the manner in which we did it in the bipartisan manner. So I'm proud of both the House and the Senate and all members for taking care of this. And I appreciate the governor's leadership.
Yeah, so for me, I feel like when I got the call and saw the post about what was going on in D.C. and that our most vulnerable population was not going to be fed, it was something that it just didn't sit right. And my first call was to the governor and then, of course, to the Senate president. And it was easy for us to understand that we all wanted to accomplish the same goal, was to ultimately feed our elderly, our children, the disabled, those who greatly rely on SNAP benefits. And I know we heard a minute ago the governor say the progress that we've made over the last 22 months in this legislature with his leadership and the leadership of our Senate president and our great legislature that's been here. And it's because of the strides that we're making, we're able to do this today. It's very unfortunate what's going on in D.C. It's something that I really can't understand, how people can't come together and take care of the business that our country desperately needs. But I want to thank our legislature for all the work that they've done. And Bruce has been phenomenal to work with. He's put together a program that I think we should all be very proud of and thankful for. So thank you all for being here today, and I look forward to continuing the progress that we're seeing across our state.
Look, I think in closing, I want to echo again what Cameron said. I know that it's fun and certainly sometimes entertaining to write about disagreements that happen in this building or when we have a little bit of internal strife as we move the state forward. But when you think about the historical record-setting pace of what we're doing here in Louisiana, the one thing that seems to be missing from all the columns is that I don't know if any of the policies that have been put in place in this building that have passed these chambers didn't pass in bipartisan measures. And I think that speaks volumes. It speaks volumes for the leadership of both of these men and for the men and women in both of those chambers. So with that, I'm happy to take any questions. Let's see, why don't we go front to back? Yes, sir. Yes, so we have identified really, and if it gets into too much of the specifics, we're going to bring the great Bruce Greenstein here because he has it. His staff, and let me just say this too, for the folks at LDH who have been working night and day on this, I can't thank them enough. We owe them, and the folks that are going to get their cards loaded owe them a lot of gratitude as well. There is a number of, we are going to be closing the SNAP offices. And because the state pays 50% of those salaries, and that allows us to then take that 50% SGF money and help to fund people so that we feed the elderly, the disabled, and children. And really, there's really nothing for those people to do because the federal government won't open. And so it's about 1,100 or so people. We don't have to furlough them if Chuck Schumer opens the government up. He's got a couple of more days. And so that's what's going to happen.
So will they be running a skeleton crew that's going to ensure?
We're going to be running. We have gone through, and Bruce and them have painstakingly gone through and made sure that the people that are continuing to be employed are those that we need to stand up the program so that there's not a disruption in services. Now, look, I think it's important to recognize, okay, because I know y'all are going to be looking for the disruption to write it on the pages. You just saw. I mean, I know it's that. Y'all look at it. Y'all laughing. I know.
Understand that what we're doing is historic. It has never been done. We've never had to be placed in this situation. And any mistake that we make is Chuck Schumer's fault. I want to be very, very clear because people have been working night and day on this. So if we slip up or somebody doesn't get it, all we want to do is know who they are. And I promise you, we'll take care of them. Thank you. You know what? I certainly hope. I've spoken to both the Speaker and the Majority Leader, who actually happened to be from Louisiana, and walked them through what we're doing and made the argument that we believe that if we have to backfill, that they should reimburse us. They agreed. The question is right now we can't get Democrats in the Senate to agree on anything. So, you know, we're hopeful, and that's why we we're going to do this program in the most fiscally responsible manner, okay? And why we're going to talk about filling food banks, and why we're going to be working with our food banks, and why we're going to be encouraging people to go from dependence to independence. And we, and the great news is, like Cameron said, is we actually blessed. We really are. We were blessed by God that they were actually in session and they could act. And we're blessed to have over 100,000 new job opportunities in this state. We could be in other states that don't have that.
Governor, you talked about protecting the most vulnerable, elderly, disabled children. As you know, over 200,000 people on SNAP in Louisiana are not within those vulnerable groups. What about them? And how do you go about choosing the priority starting November 1st?
Well, they're going to those 200,000 are going to have to lean on food banks. And we're going to be talking about that. We've got a great announcement tomorrow morning. And we're going to be calling on those more fortunate in the state to help us with that. We're not going to forget them, but we're going to try to work with charity to address those 253. He's saying it's, you said it's 53,000?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not 200,000, it's 53,000 individuals or able-bodied adults who receive the benefits.
And then how do you go about choosing the priority?
What do you mean?
The priority for whose cars get loaded first?
Well, it was easy. Yeah, it was easy. The system already, again, the good Lord, he's really helping us, probably because Philip prays so much for us. But the first 4 days are the elderly and the disabled. It's real easy to choose those. They're getting loaded up.
All right, next question.
Yep. Yeah.
How much money will this cost, and how will you ensure that it doesn't deplete any LBH programs?
Well, that's a great question. Number one, this program in Louisiana cost about, it fully funded, this is fully funded, with the able-bodied group, would cost us in 1 month of $147 million, which is part of the problem. I spoke to one of the governors of one of the other southern states. They only spent about $45-50 million, right? So we've got a long way to go to get people from dependence to independence. And because of the work of these two men and their chambers, we will be able to utilize some of the rainy day funds. Look, we just had a $577 million surplus, and money's going into the savings, and those are great. And they've been great about being very fiscally responsible, so we have the money for the month. Oh, absolutely. Look, I'm telling you, these two guys, look, let me tell you, do you realize, and look, I've been waiting to say this in front of y'all because no one will correct me better than y'all, okay? I don't know if in the last three governors prior to me that any of those governors went through a term without at least 1 year of fiscal instability, right? You were there for Bobby, okay? Let me tell you something. Do you realize what that means? Okay? Like, we will go 4 years, knock on wood, if we keep on our track, we will not have the fiscal instability that this state and our citizens have been used to. And that, and doing that gives us the ability to do exactly what we're doing now.
Okay, on a separate topic, a lot of LSU folks are very happy about the Bryan County firing. Exactly what role did you play in that?
Look, my role is about the fiscal effect of firing a coach under a terrible contract,
okay? All I care about is what the taxpayers are going to be on the hook on. I was also not happy with the fact that we were raising ticket prices while we were having a losing season. And we were paying a coach $100 million, and we were not getting the results. Now, look, I have no animus against Brian Kelly. I don't dislike Brian Kelly. I've eaten dinner with him. But I think that it had gotten to the point, and I think they realized that, the spirit of the team needed a change. And so that change was made. And we're going to move on. We got a lot of big things. We're without a president right now at LSU. And I'm hoping that the Board of Supervisors gets us one very quickly.
Did you host a meeting at the governor's mansion on Sunday night about firing Brian Kelly?
No, I hosted a meeting at the governor's mansion to talk about the legalities, to talk about the costs, to talk about who pays for it, to talk about what's the effect of it. And that is exactly what it was, a meeting to discuss the legalities of the contract. Thank you.
Governor Landry, you said that the other 53,000 people could rely on the food banks, but how is the state going to assist food banks, considering food banks have already been in a dire need of food, considering USDA funding has been slashed, and they've seen an uptick in people coming to food banks for food?
Well, I tell you what, I think stay tuned, because tomorrow morning we're going to start that progress, and I think you'll see what we're going to be doing. We've been in contact, and Bruce and them have been working very closely with our food banks. So just that's the next phase, and we'll be happy to answer some of those questions starting tomorrow, and I think it'll become crystal clear.
And one more quick thing. You've been very critical of Tulane Loyola student body, government association, for not allowing Turning Point to come on campus. I mean, what's your reaction to that?
Yeah, I think it's sad. I really do. I think it's terrible. I think it's terrible that our universities, which are supposed to be the place under which freedom of speech is supposed to be welcome, where the ability to dialogue and to disagree and to agree to disagree is not welcome. And what it says is that those two universities do not appreciate the freedom of speech. They don't appreciate the other side. The only way you get the reason that we're able to be where we are right here is I promise you, Cameron and I and Philip, we don't agree all the time. Yeah, see? But guess what? We've been able to find the common ground by working through the problems, and I think that that's what both the American people and the citizens of Louisiana want now. And Tulane and Loyola are examples of what's wrong with the country, not what's right.
Governor Landry, you're talking a lot about fiscal responsibility. Let's talk about New Orleans right now. They just rescinded their request for a bond, but prior to that, you had suggested and urged lawmakers to deny it. Can you talk about why you wanted lawmakers to deny the request, and talk about what other plans or suggestions you have to get us to a place that we can pay our city workers?
Well, I guess they must have gotten to that point because they don't need the money anymore. I mean, that's why they withdrew the deal. I mean, look, I spent 8 years on the Fiscal Review Committee as the Attorney General. Don't forget about that. We're not treating the city of New Orleans any different than all of the other municipalities and political subdivisions around the state have been treated. So I can promise you, they're not getting any, we're not going after them in an aggressive manner. We're not being strong-minded, strong-armed. We're not using any of those types of tactics. We are treating them like everybody else. They're normally not used to being treated like everybody else. Okay, let's be fair. But it's time that they do. And their withdrawal signifies to me that maybe the problem was not as bad as they said it was. We'll see.
Well, they were in a press conference just a little while ago saying that they're not in that position. And now do have to furlough employees, a lot of conventions and things are not going to be able to.
No, I don't believe that. No. Listen, they're acting like Chuck Schumer now. Okay? No. There is a path. I mean, do you think we would allow people in the city of New Orleans, city employees, these two people right here, these two gentlemen, not to fund the city of New Orleans? Do you think we would allow them to do it? No. We're just saying, hey, listen, we have a path. They don't like the path. I'm sorry. I didn't put them in that position. And let me tell you something. Most of those people on that council are still there. So, again, that decision's theirs. We are happy to work with the city of New Orleans. And we're happy to make sure that the city of New Orleans continues. This state, this building spends a lot of taxpayer money that doesn't come from the city of New Orleans on the city of New Orleans. All we're asking for is that they be treated the same way. I think it's fair.
We're going to be
And Governor, why would the state...
One question here and one question right here.
Okay.
Thank you. Piggybacking on her point there, why would the state still be in control of the city of New Orleans in the form of that fiscal administrator being there if a loan from the state would be paid off in January? Can you break that down?
Because we don't know that. Listen, again, we're not treating them any different. We're just, all we're saying is that they go before the Fiscal Review Committee and make the case that they don't need a fiscal administrator. And if your information is correct, maybe they can make the case to the treasurer, the AG, and a legislative auditor. Here's what y'all missing, okay? You're giving a tremendous amount of credence to things that are discredited. I thought they had a $1 billion surplus just 6 months ago. Like their lack of preparedness doesn't constitute an emergency on our part. And so all we're asking them to do is go before the review committee and then lay the books out to tell us how. And if those three people say, okay, yeah, then they send it to the bond commission and we make a decision. We are not being obstructionists here. We are giving them multitudes of paths to be able to get what they need. They just don't want it. I don't know what to tell you. Okay.
Will you make sure the next contract, the next football coach at LSU is not ridiculous? And will you have something to do with the search for that coach?
The first question is absolutely correct. We are not going down a failed path. And I wanted to tell you something. This is a pattern. The guy that's here now that wrote that contract cost Texas A&M $70-something million. Right now, we got a $53 million liability. We are not doing that again. And you know what? I believe that we're going to find a great coach. I mean, maybe we'll let President Trump pick it. He loves winners. You know? I'm not going to be picking the next coach. But I can promise you, we're going to pick a coach, and we're going to make sure that that coach is successful, and we're going to make sure that he's compensated properly, and we're going to put metrics on it. Because I'm tired of rewarding failure in this country and then leaving the taxpayers on the foot, you know, to foot the bill. So, yeah, absolutely.
Would be selecting the next coach?
Who's that?
Scott Woodward.
No. I can tell you right now, Scott Woodward is not selecting the next coach. I'll let Donald Trump select it before I let him do it. I don't know, but the Board of Supervisors is going to come up with a committee, and they're going to go find us a coach. Because, wait, I want to, hold on. One real quick thing on that. Because here's what y'all reporters need to do. Y'all need to start looking at who represents all these people, like these agents. You know what's interesting? If I'm not mistaken, Woodard's agent, Kelly's agent, the Texas A&M, they're all the same agent. Like, you realize if I would be, I don't know how y'all, how many sports writers we got here today? Like, just you. We should have a bunch, okay? Like, this is ridiculous. Lawyers would be disbarred for the way these agents act and the way they're able to represent. In fact, there's no doubt, they may even represent some of the players now. Like, it's really time for the NCAA to put on some guardrails in college sports. Because, and it's fine, we don't need the guardrails. If big billionaires want to spend all that kind of money, no problem. But if I got to go find $53 million from Kevin, it's not going to be a pleasant conversation. I'm just telling you. I know. And I think that that's important as well. Y'all should start looking into that. Okay.
All right. The state owes New Orleans $30 million in FEMA reimbursement. When will the city see that money?
Listen, here's what I tell you. If the state owes the city some money, I would suggest that the city call the Secretary of Revenue, and we'll make sure, I promise you, if there's a bill out there, we're happy to pay it. Okay? Look, I like to pay my bills. No problem. Look, I want to thank you all for being in. And listen, I really want to thank the people of Louisiana for giving me great people like those standing around me to work for. I want to thank the LDH staff and Bruce and the entire cabinet. And I want the people out there who have been placed in a great deal of anxiety because they don't know whether they're going to be able to fill their cupboard. And we are going to work tirelessly to make sure that we take care of people in Louisiana, because you know what? That's what we do here in Louisiana. God bless you. Thank you.
Where does the 53,000 people come from when we calculated 228,000?